I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen have been kidnapped. Who will save the day? You are Superman. All the powers are yours. Flight, heat vision, super speed, super strength, freezing breath, and X-ray vision. Buy early and receive a DC Comics Collector's Edition Superman comic book. Superman, the new adventures video game.
Wow. Most of that wasn't lies.
Nope. A lot of it was, though. A lot of it's lies.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Play Retro. Yes, that's right. This is Play Retro. I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson. I'm faster than a locomotive. I can jump higher than the damned building. But what I can't do is make a good video game where I am the main character. Oh, sure. It works in fighting games. Or the times I just make a cameo. But my own video game, not even 64 bits can save me. No, now move before I melt your face with my laser eyeballs.
Oh, that's sad. Oh, we must have been on the same wavelength. We must have both been in the same simulation with Lex Luthor. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. And I'm slower than a speeding bullet, less powerful than a locomotive, unable to leap tall buildings in a single bound. But I sure as hell can run into them and get stuck. Look up at the sky. You can't see me. Maybe this green kryptonite fog will fade by the time we get to the next console generation. Yeah. See you then, citizen. Up and the hell away from this game.
Yeah. You're never going to play you again, game. Because you suck.
I'll have to. What choice do I have? I got the cart.
You do have the cart. You did a weird thing. I don't know. How long have you had that damn thing?
Well, unfortunately, it was supposed to be here on Tuesday, but the post office decided to drag their stupid Superman feet and finally delivered it yesterday afternoon. Wow. And so I didn't get to play it very much as far as the real deal hardware. I played it a lot through emulation.
I did the same.
I was not able to play it until this morning on the real hardware on my N64.
I got bad news for you. It doesn't improve the experience much.
It was no more fun than it was in emulation. I can't blame it on the emulation. Nope.
But the whole point of this show is our goal is not to say, hey, the forgotten gem that is Superman 64. Our goal today is to say, why is it considered by many people the worst video game of all time, if not among the worst? We're going to dig down and find out.
Definitely for the 64. Right.
Oh, hell yeah. Like, for that generation of consoles, this was held high as a poo-poo thing.
It is the E.T. of his generation.
Yeah. Why, though? That's the question. We're going to find out.
That's the question. We want to find out.
We're going to find out together. But first, a couple of quick things. Thanks to you and this stupid Unreal Tournament 99 server that we got going. It's all I think about. And it's all I want to do. And it's like 25 years have just disappeared. And I'm back in 1999 playing this game again. I dream about it. I play music from it. I am completely obsessed with Unreal Tournament 99. Because of this effing show. So thanks again for that, Brian. It's kind of half your fault. And whatever.
We very much unlocked. I've been hearing this a lot. We very much unlocked a lot of recovering addicts.
Yeah.
And they're back on the band. Is on the wagon? They're back on the wagon?
How do you say that? They're back.
They're getting run over by the wagon wheel.
Yeah.
With Gibbs everywhere.
Yeah, the wagon is still turning and your hair is caught in the wagon and the wagon is pulling you down and the wagon will kill you. eventually. Right. You're going to die. So,
but we're having one hell of a time. If you're not playing this Unreal Tournament server with us, Unreal Tournament 99, all the information you need to know is over at RetroGib.com. Is so delicious that we decided to end the show with a UT report.
Mm.
Not a UTI report, a UT report.
No, that's you're not. No one gets to hear about my UTI infections that I have right now.
No one wants to see that.
Wait, that's like saying infection twice, isn't it? Because it's urinary tract infection. So you just say UTI. Yeah,
that's right.
Anyway, that's all I've been thinking about. I've been playing a bunch. I haven't been trying to do too much when no one's on. I'll play some bots and screw around or whatever. But it also prompted me to install Unreal Tournament 2004, which, by the way, does not even have. I did own that on Steam, and Steam lets you download and install it, even though it's not a thing you can buy now. And it's all there and functions and everything, except there's no support, I guess, in 2004 for 16:9 resolutions. None. So I can't run it in any 16:9 resolution. 1080p, forget it. 720p, forget it. It's not available. I can run it in the maximum allowable resolution that my monitor can stand, but it's 4:3, whether I like it or not, and it's annoying. So F that. I'm not playing that.
So you like it not, is what you're saying.
Not as much as 99. Now, that being said, I also kind of got a little hankering for 3. So yes. I also own that there, installed that. That makes you paste in your, not paste it in. You have to hand type in your freaking CD key, even on Steam.
Oh my God. Don't you miss those days?
Huge pain.
I want to copy paste so bad. Let me copy paste. Come on.
I know.
Just a little bit.
And the way you have to do is you have to go right click the game in Steam. It will tell you what your CD key is, but it won't let you paste it. So it's really annoying.
That was a thing. I forgot that the first time you would launch those games, it would pop the key up and you could tell it to leave you the hell alone and not show you again. Or you could use that key. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. It's a really weird thing. But anyway, it works. And that game is still very cool. I didn't spend a ton of time in there. Oh, and also played it on my Steam Deck and ran great on there. But Unreal 3, underappreciated. Unreal 3 is basically, I have a theory. Okay. This comes out in 2007.
Right.
It looked amazing. Even still, I think it runs like incredibly well and looks really good. And they took everything that I think was best about the original Unreal and kind of went back to it. And if anything, 3 is a return to 99, whereas 04 was like an expansion outward. It was like, hey, we're adding vehicles. We're going to do some really big open space type combat. And this was like a return to closed quarters, arena style stuff. And I think in 07, we just didn't know we wanted that. You know, I think people were just a little slow to embrace it. And as a result, I didn't get the love that I think it should have, because I actually think it's really awesome. And the bot play in there is very good. The only complaint I have is it has that whole tap twice quickly to left or right or forward or back, and you do the dodge mechanic.
Yeah.
I don't mind it, except it's fiddly. And sometimes it just does it whether you asked it to or not to, or not. And so what I'm trying to do now is figure out ways to disable that, because right now there's no default way to do it. So I'm hoping I might be able to edit a script or something. But anyway, bottom line is, 3 is really good. There are rumors floating around, and even back in 2023, sometime early, there was a store listing for UT3 that was briefly on Steam and on Epic that said this was going to be cross-play, it was going to be 100% free to play, and it was going to have no transactions of any kind. It was just going to be, we're putting this game up for people to play it. Think of like Quake Live or something. And it was just going to be there to play. And they'd even said, there was a little note that said, this game is not currently available, but stay tuned, which they never do on a thing where it's delisted, right? And then we've heard nothing since then, like Zippo.
Nothing.
So if I have my wish for this year, it would be fire that thing up, make a nice cross-play thing that everybody can just fire up UT3 and play for fun, for the hell of it, and I am all in on that. Until then, it's UT99, and that's just the way it's going to be. So there you go.
I don't know at what point in time I had the foresight to purchase the entire Unreal collection on Steam, but I apparently had the foresight. I have all of them in my library. I was very excited. And then when I went to the thrift store today, I continued because I found something this Xbox original, Unreal 2, The Awakening, NC-17.
Yep.
I didn't even know. I had no idea. Like I've talked in the past, I wasn't a huge Unreal guy, but I am now. And I did that. and I'm pretty stoked to
wasn't
play
that
later.
That was pretty exclusively Xbox, I think. That
I think it was. I haven't dug in deep to it, but I'm very curious. But while I was there, I found a couple of other cool things. I found this PlayStation 2 Pinball Hall of Fame. Remember when we talked about all of our Williams pinball games?
I do remember that.
I got a chance to pick this up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never opened. Brand new. I paid $7. It says 10, but I paid $5. I paid $5. He gave it to me for $5.
How'd you work that out? Did you haggle or what? What'd you do?
Well, I was picking up a bunch of stuff and I was just like, nah, just here, just get the hell out of my store.
Yeah.
And
we're sick of you in here, Brian. We see you every week. Get the F out of our store, they said.
Yeah, pretty much. And I picked up this. This is PlayStation 2. I want to do episode eventually on this, on Jak and Daxter. Can't wait to do it.
Oh, yeah.
And for just a minute, when I pulled this out of the bag, I thought I made a mistake because I saw this. And I'm like,
Guitar Hero? What?
I didn't buy Guitar Hero World Tour. Apparently, it was on the flip side. I just didn't see it. You see how close I look at stuff.
Wait a minute. So you bought one game, but they gave you two games for that.
Actually gave me two games and a magazine disc for PlayStation 2. So this is issue 51. So I'm going to be curious. So I found a couple of cool things today. I'm pretty excited.
That's awesome.
Oh, this is not related to video games. Look at this. Do you remember this?
Witchblade, of course. Witchblade series is great. That's $2. That's the girl from Hard Target. I forgot her name.
Yeah. Yeah.
You probably have it right there. What's her name?
McGillicuddy.
Juicy Williams.
Is Yancey Butler. Is that right?
Yancey Butthurt.
Yeah. They still want $50 for the complete Farscape series. I just can't do it.
That's a lot. Why do they want that much for Farscape? What's that about?
It's a good deal. It's a good deal, but every time I go in there, I know some of the people think that I go in there and I buy this crap and then I turn around and sell it on eBay. So they don't want to just sell it to me at a discounted price. No, I'm going to run to eBay and sell it, but that's not what I'm doing. Mm. I'm buying this crap and hoarding it. So come on, give me a better deal on the crap. Yeah. I'm just trying to get it out of the dump. And one last thing.
It's on Peacock, by the way, that entire series. So you can watch it.
Oh, really?
There. Yeah.
Yeah, I know it is. But yeah. It's so much fun to have an open package with Farscape and pop it up and go, oh, now I'm going to run the whole thing.
Of course.
This came in the mail. I don't know what I want to show you first. All right. So my friend, I got the Analog Pocket, and I'm still getting my first impressions on it.
Yeah. And you're a dirty bastard, and I hate you for it, and I hope you're enjoying it. Go ahead.
I'm enjoying it terribly. And so my friend, he said, oh, yeah, I used to love this. And I used to have a really good game called BattleBots. And I was like, cool. So I looked it up. Remember BattleBots, right? Well, there's a Game Boy Advance game of it.
No, I don't.
Remember BattleBots? Remember the series, though, BattleBots, right?
Oh, it's like Robot Wars or Robots.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So he was like, oh, I love that game. And I was like, cool. So I found eBay for about $7. And the post office delivered it like this. Except it wasn't cut. I cut it on the tape. It said received in damaged condition. Bullshit. This thing went through a machine and it ate it up. And if you look, this thing got ate up. And I'll post some better pictures of it because it's kind of dark in here.
Damn, but dude.
It just, the machine just ate it up and it got delivered. And I was like, it still works, but man, it has seen better days. So I said the eBay guy, I was like, oh, dude, I said, no big deal. I just want to let you know what the post office did to the package. He said, I'll give you a refund. I was like, no, don't do it. He did anyway. And, you know, it wasn't nobody's fault. I got mad for a second. I'm like, oh, I can't believe it's stupid. But then I'm like, it just got stuck in a machine somewhere. Some guy or, you know, some worker was like, ah, crap, it got stuck in the machine. He pulls it out and he's like, I guess it's going like this.
Yeah.
And I was like, what a bad attitude to have. And I'm like, if I was him, I would do the same thing.
Yeah, of course you would.
I don't get paid enough to care about this. All right. Yeah. So I couldn't be mad at anybody. Machine ate it. How perfectly ironic that it ate the BattleBots. It won. The post office won.
Yeah. Robot, post office won. Post office game won. Zero. Yeah.
Game zero. So
well done. Well done. Well, that's cool. Look at you out getting rad shit for no reason.
I got way too much junk, man. That's the reason why in pre-show, me and Scott talked about all the technology I should be ordering instead, like microphones and cameras and crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he went and added a bunch to his cart, and now you're going to be a couple $100 poorer.
Yeah. So, if you could join, Play Retro Patreon to continue my addiction.
That's right. We got to pay for this crap somehow. All right. If I got to get a new microphone, how am I going to pay for that stuff? So let's get that done. Well, all right, then. That's awesome. Let's get straight to our main topic. A little bit different today. This isn't about celebrating a game. It's about dissecting what went wrong. And we're going to do it right now.
Shall we play a game?
We shall indeed. We're going to talk about Superman 64, as most people call it. It's actually called Superman : The New Superman Adventures for the N64. But no one calls it
No one calls it. Everybody says that Superman 64. People don't have enough energy to give that thing a full name.
No.
Right?
And why would they? Why would you want that kind of energy in your life? Like, F that. Right. It sucks. It's bad.
Forget it.
It's a horrible game. It is a game, though, nonetheless. And it was released to people wanting to play it. Back in the year.
Titus Interactive, a French company, decided that they would pursue Warner Brothers. So here's the short story. The Titus Interactive co-founder, Eric Kane, I think it is. Mm-hmm. It's a French company. I apologize if I butchered it.
Yeah.
And he was the producer behind Superman. At a time when the Batman, the animated series, was doing well, he got wind that they were going to do a Superman, take on the same way. And so he contacts Warner Brothers, who at that point in time, there was no interest in Superman. Nobody was caring about Superman. And so he talked to the license department. And he was able to secure it, even though they were a smaller company, had not really proven themselves to be a good game developer, a competent game developer, maybe, and certainly had not really proven themselves very much on the 64, the N64. And so the licensing team at that time said, sure, we'll give it to you. We can't believe anybody is interested. Yeah. A few weeks later, that licensing team is fired and a new one comes in. And as the story goes, the new team wanted to put the kibosh on this, and so they stalled and they made it difficult for Titus Interactive, who probably could have made an okay game. According to their record of games they've made, Dick Tracy, what was the other one they did? They did, you might have heard of, oh my gosh. It was definitely Dick Tracy.
Yeah, they did Dick Tracy. Oh, I know for what it sure. was.
The Blues Brothers game for the NES. Mm. You may have heard of that.
I don't remember that one at all. Was that well received? People like that?
If you go back and look at Titus Interactive, this is no judgment. This is no judgment at all. All of their games have reviewed to okay, either bad or okay. They weren't cutting any new ground, which is fine. They don't have to.
They made a lot of shovelware back in the day. That's what they did.
They started purchasing other companies at one point in time. And so they picked up some games that did review well, but the early on Titus stuff, it was good. It was fine. You're not going to be blown away. So at best, we were going to get a okay Superman game, but Warner Brothers, stalled, drug their feet until we ended up with what is known as the worst Super Nintendo game.
Yeah, they filed for bankruptcy in 2004. I'm not sure how the laws in France work, but that's what they did then. And a French district court in 2009 declared Titus bankrupt with a 33 million euro, which was roughly $43.8 million in the U.S. debt. Their assets were purchased by Interplay. They were shut down and they were done.
Yeah. So. They started picking up some other companies near the end of their life. And I think it just kind of drug them down. Like I said, everything you look at that they were putting out was okay games. Mm-hmm. It was okay. They hustled a lot. They got the intellectual properties they could. They got a RoboCop later on. They were constantly pursuing things that would be recognizable. And I think he even said the co-founder even said that that's what they were looking for. They're looking for games that had kind of a cult. Or properties that had like kind of a cult following.
Sure.
Like they weren't necessarily looking for the big thing. They were looking for things like Superman, RoboCop, Dick Tracy, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, they made it. If you have a good license and you make a competent game, even if it doesn't review extraordinary, you're going to be profitable.
Yeah.
And,
they tried. Let's put it that way. They tried real hard, and it's unfortunate because I don't think it's their fault necessarily. This is just a big messy thing. Had this game been approached or had they started work on it in the early 90s, they would have seen more success because Superman was having a moment.
Yes.
You had the whole Son of Krypton stuff. I think that's what it was called. They had the whole he's dead business, the rise of Steel, then all the alternate Supermen. Like there is stuff in there to work with. And at the height of that popularity, I would say 90 through, I don't know what, 95 or something, you might have had them. But to do this in 99, you know, in the face of some very successful Batman stuff and really not much from Superman since the, what was the last Superman movie? The fourth shitty one. I mean, we were in a place where Superman was hard, but I've always said, and I still stand by this, Superman's hard to make a video game around. And the reason he's difficult to make a game around is because he's all powerful. And when there's a character who's all powerful, you have to tell the story with storytelling and character building. And it's not nearly as cool because as far as action goes, he should be able to do anything, anytime, anywhere and travel immediately to someplace and take care of a problem or one punch kills. You know, he is One Punch Man in a lot of ways. Yeah. And half the reason One Punch Man is fun is they are playing against that archetype. They're like, it kind of sucks to be able to just punch and be done. So you have to come up with more than that. Now, I think they could do it today better than ever. And here's why. You go play a modern superhero game like any of the newer Spider-Man games, and you see that kind of sweeping, almost effortless feeling it is to swing through the city in just beautiful graphic presentation and just never feel like, wow, it's just amazing, right? I think Superman could find a place today where that would work. It would have to be heavy, heavy narrative based. And you would probably have to strip his powers a little bit in the story to make him. So you have some fear for your character because this thing was mostly about beating clocks, this game. And I hate, you know how I feel about timers. F that shit.
Yes.
I don't want to do that. And this game was full of timer. Looking at one right now, he's trying to beat the clock on some stupid thing. I don't even know what the mission is here.
He's tried and you can't see anything because there's the Krypton fog. So let's get into the backstory of the game itself.
Yeah, let's do it.
Lex Luthor. So due to reasons.
Oh, do you want to hear, by the way, let's hear Lex Luthor. I have some audio from the game. We'll play that and then we'll get right back to it. Hold on. Here you go.
In short time, your fate will be sealed, Superman.
That's him.
Then there's no time to waste.
And then there's Superman getting stoked.
Well, then there's no time to waste.
And by the way, he does this about 50 times in your 100. Playthrough. He just pops up and goes,
well, then there's no time to waste.
And then he goes and wastes your time. Yeah.
And then he wastes time. Well, he can't waste any time because you're on a counter. So the game is, like Lex has said, he's got Superman by the short curly hair he keeps in the front of his head. He's got, he's taken Jimmy Olsen, Lois Lane, and I'm not sure, there's some debate. I said it was the professor in this game that he's supposed to be going after, but I didn't read the manual, all right?
Yeah.
But the other people are saying is the editor-in-chief. So the DC's version of J. Jonah Jameson, except he's not a total jerk.
Yeah.
Was it Jerry White?
Jerry.
What is his name? Is that right?
Perry White.
Yeah. He's Perry White. So he's Lex Luthor's put these people as bait inside this virtual world. And that's what Superman's doing. He's going inside this virtual world. They don't really tell you much other than that. They don't say it to hook him up Matrix style. If he has to fly through some kind of thing, but that's the reason why he's apparently vulnerable. Plus, for some reason, Lex made a kryptonite fog.
Yeah. Yeah, which
as we know in 64 terms, that just means we can't draw that far. We don't have the draw distance for it. And there's a fog, and we decided to tint it green.
It's one of the first games of that era to use that disadvantage of the hardware as a story point. And they did this before. They did it with the Silent Hill games, 1 and 2, or just 1, rather. Yes. And they used that fog to the advantage. It actually worked there. Like that was functioned as a way to make the game scarier, and they really leaned into it. In this case, it just felt like a sad excuse for why I can't see more than 12 feet in front of me, you know?
And people complain about that a lot when people talk about this game. And I'm like, wait a minute. Turok, which was also an N64 title, has the same fog in it, but I rarely hear anybody talk about it. But man, you talk about Superman 64 and people are ready to pile on because they're still mad about the beginning, which is anytime if you picked up Superman 64 live, it's probably rented it from Blockbuster or a local store or whatever. and you got your first experience of Superman. However, they sold a lot of them. Titus made a profit on Superman 64.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, everyone expected it to be good, and they were sorely disappointed. The return policy was not as good as Steam's is today, and you got stuck with your bad choice.
Right. So he's been interviewed a lots of times because one of the things people remember are the stupid rings you got to fly through. So when you start this game, they just kind of unceremoniously throw you in, and you got to fly through a bunch of rings. And we've seen it in other games where you have to fly through rings, but it's very frustrating because Superman's hard to control. This is the N64 controller with that analog stick. It's not very forgiving. The frame rates are all over the place. And so it's really hard to do. And they only give you a short amount of time to do it. And, you know, he's been interviewed before, Eric Kane. He's been interviewed before, and he gets very defensive. It's kind of funny. I think his last response in one of the interviews I read was, rings are only in the tutorial levels.
Yep.
So, which... Sort of.
I mean, there's a lot more, though. Sort of. Yeah. I don't think I buy that. I mean, I understand.
Right.
I understand being frustrated by you put a lot of work into a thing. It was a frustrating process. You had a lot of cooks in the kitchen that were not necessarily you're looking out for your interests as creatives and artists and engineers and whatnot. But don't make excuses for this thing, dude. This thing.
No, don't. He's right that, and he said in many interviews, he blames Warner Brothers completely. He puts it all on their shoulders, and very rightly so. Warner Brothers licensing team was definitely trying to, you know, slow him down, stop him, because they said that they wanted to work with EA, and they did eventually about 4 or 5 years later, I guess. They made the Superman game they wanted. Superman needs to be an open world game, right? Mm-hmm. This game is open world in parts and corridors and other parts. And even the open world doesn't feel really open worldy. It feels like a simulation or a demo because he's supposed to be explained away in this virtual world, this kind of sparsely, occupied.
It's a ring flying simulator. Honestly,
it is very much. And we've seen the ring flying simulator stuff before, you know, races and stuff, a lot of mini games. So it's kind of like starting off. They call it a tutorial, but it's really like starting off with a mini game. Now, one thing I did not understand was, the first thing I thought when after playing the rings for a couple of minutes and realizing, oh, there's no way in hell I'm going to finish this. And I'm like, is there difficulty setting on this thing? So I checked. Sure enough, you turn it to easy, which is the next one down. The rings disappear. You just fly straight.
You just fly.
And I'm like, well, what the hell people complain about rings for? Yeah. Turn it on easy. Yeah. That's what I did. Because guess what? You may think, well, I don't want to play it in easy mode. Why not? You're Superman. Everything's supposed to be easy. So I turned on easy mode, and then I flew straight to the thing. And easy mode ain't easy, my friend, because immediately after the rings, you got to stop some cars from running over a lady pushing a baby buggy. And it only gives you like 5 seconds to do this. And this thing does not handle well. So you have to put yourself in a direction and then fly and stop this car before it gets to him. You got to figure out which button to push. You can lift it up. It's still hard as hell. Mm-hmm. So. But I don't know why I found the difficulty rating hilarious, because there is three modes. There's the easy mode with no rings. There's the regular mode, which is where you're going to start at. And then there's the Superman mode. And I'm like, well,
Superman mode just all rings constantly, like just layers.
I don't know. I didn't dare try it.
I wouldn't either, dude. That sounds like a nightmare. Normal's already.
It sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
But, get rid of the rings, go to easy. It's fine, and it's still not a better game.
But no, it's still a bad game.
At least acceptable. I made it through at least a little ways into it. I've seen people complete this game, and you end up running into some interesting characters along the way from the Superman world, but all of it feels like people have described before. It just feels incomplete.
Yeah.
And part of that is because they just weren't given the opportunity. They were 6 months late getting it out, and they had, even though they had approval for this and a Game Boy game and a PlayStation game that only made it to prototype and got 90% complete, even though all that stuff is true, they still had a deadline. And if they didn't meet that deadline, they were going to lose the license early. And sure enough, they got pushed until they lost the license early. And that's the reason why we never got to see that PlayStation version.
I know how to solve this whole thing. I just thought of it.
Give it to me.
Because today you have big open worlds with very little load time, right? It's all out there for
yes.
you.
Yes. Yes.
And you give a mission structure, you know, think Gotham or think Arkham City. Okay. It's in terms of like city availability to you, and everywhere there's crime happening. And the fun of the game will be prioritizing, like, well, what do I got to do first? There'll be main missions, of course, but like, you'll hear in your super hearing, they'll have you fly up into the atmosphere just to kind of decide what your next mission is going to be.
And
you'll
rotate
around and you'll hear somebody down here going, help me, help me. This man has removed my panties or whatever. That's terrible. But you know what I'm saying? Like some awful thing. That's awful. I didn't mean to. I don't want to make it that. I don't want to go dark.
I just love it that it was such a matter of fact. It was a horrible thing to say.
Right.
But the way you said it.
Right. I could use better examples. Someone stole my wallet, whatever it is. And then you go, not on my watch. And then just down there. And now you've got the fight, whatever that fight is. If it's supernatural.
You want to be Superman in a movie. And I love it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point, is you want the cinematic experience, and no one's been able to provide that. The biggest hurdle is nobody wants to make this bet. That includes Warner Bros., especially now. Warner Bros. Is not in the mood to bet on anything right now.
Actually, and, I've heard with the announcement of the new, this is rumors, and maybe it's been more solidified since then, one of the other things that was in my head, they announced the latest Superman that they're coming out. You know,
Superman Legacy is called. Yeah.
They're going into production and they're wanting to put a game in production as well. So,
well, they may well do it this time. James Gunn's a smart guy. They got a lot of great story ideas. I think that if the movie succeeds, I think you can count on a game more likely to succeed in the wake of that.
Yes. I think we're much more poised to be able to bring a good Superman game to market again, because we've had one, right? We've had one Superman game. It's okay. It was a near impossible task from the get go to try to create Superman on the N64, because he flies, man. He covers a lot of ground. Yeah. I mean, if you don't have open world, huge open world, you got to slow Superman down somehow, and that's no fun, because the point behind playing Superman, like you pointed out, is, you know, being able to do anything.
Yeah.
I want to go kick some ass.
Yeah.
You know, Superman. That's what he does.
And the whole point of Superman is there's a goodness about him. Even when he's faced with horrible decisions where he could take the wrong road. And we have plenty of spin outs and other ideas that are based on, well, what if he did take the wrong decisions? And those are fun to mess around with too.
That would be the game I would like to have that decision making tell the story.
Yeah,
because that's what all the comics are about. All the comics when you deal with Superman is all about him dealing with, you know, is he the savior? Or is he, you know, why has he been called? And it's a really good.
Right. And this idea that he can't be everywhere all at once. So what good is he if he can't save everyone? And then how does he prioritize who he saves? And, you know, becomes controversial in that regard. People are like, well, you're only saving these people, but you should have been over here saving these people. And those are interesting. That's interesting. It's super fascinating stuff to deal with from a story perspective, but this game wasn't going to do that. This game was going to say, put it on normal and let's put more rings in it.
This game really had a huge task ahead of it, and nothing really went right. And the fact that we even got a game that was even resembling a game, is amazing. This probably should have never even left. They probably should have went the way they thought it was going to happen. Warner Brothers preemptively set up a fund, knowing good and well that Titus was going to come sue the crap out of them because the way they were stonewalling them. Titus never did it, but they were so convinced of it, because Warner Brothers was doing stuff like, hey, we don't think you should make an adventure open world game, because we want to use that later, but we think you should make Superman like a Sim City game where Superman is the mayor. That's my favorite idea of all.
That's terrible. I hate that. That's bad. I don't
what
care.
What is he going to do? What's
that's stupid. That's very stupid.
Obviously. Yeah, that's obviously them trying to destroy, you know, this game. And Titus, they talk about how Warner Brothers was just, you know, constantly demanding that they show them in the comics where Superman would do a certain thing, and they didn't want Superman, you know, hitting people. They didn't want it to be violent. And I'm like, bullshit. But Titus is right. That's what Warner Brothers was telling them. And they said the same thing. Bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, and there was like even a scene we saw in the previews earlier where he's flying through rings. He went under the water.
Yep.
They had a fight for that. They had a fight for that one scene because the Warner Brothers said, oh, Superman can't fly underwater.
I mean, and they it's had not a, flying. It'd just be comic. Super swimming or something, right? Yeah.
So they had to find a comic reference. So they were like constantly going back. Titus was constantly going back, going through comic references, because that was the only way they could proceed forward, is if they could cite the books, the holy books of Superman, to be able to get past it.
Yeah.
But this game was never going to be great. But Warner Brothers ensured that it was going to never going to happen, or it was going to be shit. And they got what they wanted.
Yeah,
and, they sure did not. All these people bought it.
Yeah, they all bought it. Now, the fact that they were, I mean, I don't know what the level of success is considered for a game like this. You said they made money.
Yeah, financially, Titus made money. Yes.
Do you know how much money? Like, how well did we do?
Not like, it's like, I think like profited $5 million or something, if I remember correctly. And that's just me trying to remember out of my head. I could be totally off on that, but it was something like that number, which is pretty big for a small company.
Yeah.
Like Titus was.
Yeah, they weren't huge by any stretch.
Yeah, they lived off their Superman money for a while.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because after playing this some and watching a ton of video and some of this historic stuff and everything, I'm surprised it didn't just like go bury it in the Mexican desert like they did with E.T.
Like E.T. That's what I was like, because this is just as playable as E.T. Now, I also have heard from some people.
New Mexico desert. Sorry. Just correct. It's not in Mexico. New Mexico. Sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
I have heard this week from a few people who did say that they enjoyed the game. So and most of those people said, did admit that they were very young when they played it. So,
well, yeah,
right.
And you're so, a kid. It's just the cartridge you got for Christmas and you lived with it. It's whatever it was.
I mean, and when you played those games, I remember playing games when I was super young that had like, you know, goals. It didn't matter that you accomplished the goal. It was the fact that you were flying Superman around. They probably picked up the game, flew them around a little bit. If they hit a ring, that was exciting. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
That was jazzed. And that's fine. If that's your memory of this game, keep it.
You know what was better? The Aquaman game was better than this.
The Aquaman game is actually, it's also hard to control. I played it on the GameCube.
It's not great, but it's better than this.
It's not great, but it's way better than this.
Yeah,
yes, agreed.
A lot better than this.
And it looks a lot better too. Worries with the draw distance and stuff.
You might actually have a pretty good time with the Game Boy Color game, which I kind of enjoyed. You're gonna go back to some side scrolling business. Here's a video of that chat room. It is, you know, Superman going left or right, kicking butt, tying people up who are bad guys. I think the tying up animation's great. I really enjoy that. It's super fun.
I think is this the right one?
As the one I played. Is this not? Is this
interesting? Now this looks fun. Are we sure this is a Titus game? Because either you played the wrong one, or I played the wrong one, which is totally possible. Played the Game Boy Color version of this from 1997.
That's this one, as far as I know.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Yeah. I don't know if Titus made a second one, but the one that I played, let me see if I can send you the link real quick. The
is
one
it I played, worse shit. Than this? Oh, the no.
The one I played was absolute. Oh, I just
was it. Was it Battle for Metropolis name. Or was it?
This is Superman. Just nothing.
Just Superman.
Just Superman.
Okay, I think I may have played Battle for Metropolis, and I liked it.
I think you did too, and I think that actually might be a good game. The one that I played, I just posted it. This is a playthrough. I don't know.
Let's take a look. This is not what I played.
Yeah, I wish I could have played what you played, because what you played looks pretty cool. He's flying around, he's taking a little Superman shape, and and he's got many. Oh, he's tying up people. He's got a lot of character animation in that one you were playing.
Mm-hmm.
The one I played, from 1997, by Titus, licensed by Nintendo for some stupid reason.
Well, you always have to license it through them back then, right? I think that was.
I would have said, nope, you're not getting this.
Oh yeah, this is not what I played. Holy shit.
It's like playing Flappy Bird with Superman. It is so effing hard, but people liked it. Some people liked it.
Really?
It was an okay game. It was an okay game is what the rating was.
Well, look, he has to fly, punch a guy, get some money in the sky for some reason.
Yeah, there's money bags in the sky. There's also grenades in the sky. You can get, we hate when Superman gets shot. Okay, if Superman gets beat up, I can kind of deal with it. I don't know what the strength is of the person doing the beating up, right?
Right.
But when you shoot man, I'm like, no, his whole thing, his whole gimmick is that you can't, right? You can't shoot him.
Right.
Bullets are useless against him.
Right.
And so that always annoys me. So just get rid of the bullets. Don't do that.
Yeah. And seek out this other Superman game, which is pretty good.
That game looks freaking amazing.
Yeah.
Especially after playing that the tightest Super Game Boy game.
Yeah.
That was crap.
That's poopy Scoopy right there. I don't want to play that. I got the wrong one, but I was really hoping that was like, oh, this is not bad. Why didn't they just make, you know, N64?
Yeah, should have made more of that.
Yeah. But it ain't them. It's somebody else.
No. And the same deal. They got a little less pushback on this because this was earlier in the development cycle. I think they stuck this one out real quick before Warner Brothers really cracked down hard. But, you know, if you like those Game Boy games where you're side-scrolling, doing a little bit of environmental puzzle solving, it's fine. You probably had worse games on your Game Boy.
Oh, I'm sure of that.
The bar is lower.
Yeah, I had stuff on my Game Boy that I'm embarrassed to talk about. There's some bad stuff on there. I mean, that device, it was so popular and so ubiquitous that everybody made just whatever shovelware they could get past Nintendo.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of it was really terrible, like really bad.
Yeah. I don't know who was sleeping over at Nintendo when they gave the stamp of approval. I don't know if
they were
letting Waluigi.
It used to be a quality stamp, but it's kind of not. It's more like a, I don't know what, I guess it mostly was like, hey, this doesn't have any nudity in it, does it? There's no boobs in this. Because we can't have that.
Did all the stuff they approve have the seal on it? Or was it just stuff that met a certain thing? I couldn't remember.
Nintendo had a really rigorous certification process.
Right,
all of them do. Even today, the console guys, PlayStation and Microsoft, don't just let anything on. They're much they're much slower process than, say, Steam. Steam's very fast. You just put your stuff up and Steam might
as long as nobody complains too loudly.
Yeah. What's his name? Gabe Newell glance over once in a while, go, what is that? Tentacle porn? That's fine. Whatever. I mean, that's kind of the process.
Well, how's the reviews in that tentacle porn? Everybody seems pretty happy.
They're still paying us 30%, right? Okay. We're good.
Right. Yep. It's good.
It's a very different, they're a very different world, but you know, that was that code of whatever their code was responsible for making, you know, taking the blood out of Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
You know, kind of all that stuff they used to do. They don't do that anymore. Nintendo's happy to have blood on there now. They're like, let's go. Bring on the blood.
Could you give us more blood?
Yeah. Do you have more blood inside you?
I need Mario to be bleeding from the eyes.
Yes, please. Please. Well, anyway, there you go. I will say, just from a perspective of, did we play this in the day? I played it at a friend's house. He was all things Superman, loved it all. He went so far as to get, there was a Superman 12-inch doll that Jerry Seinfeld put on his in his set on the VHS shelf behind him that was always there. He went so far as to try to find that exact make of that doll.
Yeah.
And then do it himself, which I just thought was the weirdest thing.
Do we have time to talk about the prototype?
Oh, the PSX one. We should talk about that. Yeah, PlayStation 1 just about got Superman. I'm kind of glad they didn't, because this didn't look very good either. This looked pretty bad.
It's infinitely more playable. Mm-hmm. So Titus got smart because they knew this wasn't working out with Warner Brothers. But they had contractually obligated to finish the PlayStation version as well. Warner Brothers, I think the license ran out before they had a chance to finish it, but they said it was about 90% done. You can get this prototype out there. I played it. It's a lot more fun, but it is much more set in corridors. So you're not outside. So your flying is limited. You can still fly, but it's mostly up an elevator shaft as you work your way up through a building.
Which is so dumb though, because it's Superman. Yeah. Like
half
of what he does is fly. This is little, you know what this is like? This is like going, we're making a Flash game. Does he run a lot? No, he just kind of stands around.
You mean fast? No, he doesn't run fast.
Yeah.
I mean, he runs.
Or like, oh,
but not fast.
Hey, we're doing Batman. What should we have him do? Drink tea? Like, you know, you have him do the thing he's known for, and
he's got to be accessing that utility belt if he's Batman. Come on.
Yeah, and I get that it's hard back then, and I get that we didn't really have the tech or the know-how or the ability to really truly realize it, but we certainly do today. So if they're making another attempt at Superman, you better have his ass in the air a lot. And they got it right with Spider-Man. It's like he is always webbing around town in that game. A huge part of it. And it's a joy to do it. You got to make that happen. You got to make that part fun and amazing for a Superman game to exist in the future, or we're never getting one. That's just the truth.
Yeah. At hiddenpalace.org, if you've never visited there, they have a lot of prototypes. You can also find this stuff on archive.org, but hiddenpalace.org is a great place. Usually after a really bad breakup, you know, maybe a developer will have a, you know, a disc laying around of the thing they had. So they'll throw it out to the internet. And I played this prototype, and it is way more fun. If you got to choose between the N64 version, you really want to get an experience this week, forget that Game Boy thing. That's frustrating. The N64 version, total garbage. But the PlayStation version is at least playable. Is you're just trying to progress through areas. You're fighting robots. You're saving people. It's kind of amusing in some of the ways when you save people, and the way they scream for you. Remember how you said you wanted somebody to scream and help?
Yeah.
You get this.
You get a
but they're
bit.
Mostly just trapped behind doors, and you have to go destroy something either with your heat vision or your cold breath. You got X-ray vision here as well.
A lot of your sound effect stuff is not in. The sound work's not all complete. The cutscenes are silent. There's a debug screen the whole time you're playing. Like, there's a lot of reasons.
No, I didn't have the debug screen. Now, this might be an early prototype, but the one I did not do the little debugging information.
Yeah.
But everything else was.
I don't think it's like a technical marvel, but it does look like maybe a little bit more fun to be had. So that's cool.
It looks a lot better. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I mean, that's a.
Is that really a bonus?
No, I mean, the PlayStation with all this jiggly, ugly texturing and, you know, bad perspective and stuff. At least this has some color and some pop to it. And, you know, the other one did not really have that. That other one was just a foggy mess. So,
yeah,
kind of a bummer. Also, everyone's shooting him with like Krypton balls and stuff. He didn't seem to take any damage.
That makes more sense. I like the fact that he's in a real kind of environment. He's fighting robots, which feels, you know, he's going to get shot. I don't want to be shot by some, you know, street guy, street thug with a gun. That's never going to happen to Superman, right?
Yeah.
I want to see him get shot with some weird Krypton gun that we've equipped robots with. That's what I feel like. Then I feel like, okay, Superman might have some challenges.
You think we ever get a Superman or Batman? Or any of that stuff where they set it in the timeline that it was originally in, meaning like I get like a 1940s Superman.
That'd be cool.
That'd be amazing.
That'd be cool. I'd like that.
Like, I don't mean cheesy, I don't mean just like cheesy, you know, George Reeves. I mean like, set it in that era and all the reasons why things would happen the way they happen in the time that it's, I don't know. I don't know why that's interesting to me. I realize that's not a mainstream thing, but.
No, that's actually good. That's kind of what they did with the movies for Wonder Woman. They kind of set it in that time period. It'd be good if they could do that.
That's true.
See Superman.
I mean, they kind of cheated by spreading it all over the place and then jumping to 84. And yes, she lives a long time and you can pull that crap off. But that second movie was rough, dude. I did not like that second movie.
Yeah, I found it passable.
Barely for me, especially the latter half. It was rough. I hated it.
The other thing I liked about this.
Your camera disappeared, by the way. I don't know why it says USB connecting on your camera. I don't know why.
Oh, does it? Okay. Oh, weird. Okay.
Yeah. You lost
connection. Fine.
Yeah.
See if I care if you're USB in it. Hold on a second. Let me grab this real quick. Yeah. What happened?
Yeah. We just what happened? As we go. We fit.
But let's talk about the PlayStation. While we're doing that, I'm going to talk about that PlayStation prototype thing real quick.
All right.
So the. Hi. Must have lost power.
Yeah. That was weird. Brown out.
But yeah, the PlayStation version, you get Krypton poisoning, but it's an effect for just a very short time. So otherwise, you are strong and powerful like Superman, but occasionally you'll get hit. And so I find it more acceptable. It's like, oh, Superman is temporarily, lowered in his ability to be godlike.
I can see that.
That feels all right as opposed to he's always weak. I don't like that.
Yeah. I like that too. That's not bad. But this thing, you know, never saw the light of day other than this leaked prototype. So if you want to go mess around with it, you can.
Digital Explorations, I believe, was.
Is that who's doing it?
Is that right?
Yeah, I think you got the guy me, who man.
Released it.
You got me. I have no idea.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
All right. On that note, it is time for us to play this game.
Destroy it.
Yes, that's right. Time to play Guess My Game. It is an audio contest where we play some audio from an old game. We give each other some hints. We each have three questions each, and then we try to answer the questions best we can. Brian, I'm going to start with mine. Here is the data you will need to know for mine.
Mm.
It is the Nintendo 64. I decided to keep it in the, you know, in the...
There you go. Keep it in the family.
Yeah. The year is 2000, only a year after this or so. The genre is first-person shooter.
Okay.
And the publisher is Nintendo, all right?
Nintendo.
Here's your audio. Listen to this voice.
I'm almost positive I know this one because I only have five cards.
If Dr. Carroll is not extracted tonight, Datadyne will put him through mind conditioning.
All right.
I only have five cards.
For your Nintendo 64?
For my Nintendo 64. And okay. I played this one a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll start asking questions. All right. So if you don't know it out there, you're not a big N64 head. Would this be feeling very similar to something like, say, like GoldenEye?
It would be very similar feeling to that, although not exactly, but sort of. And it has maybe better sound work than that game did.
Right. Yeah. I would say maybe even the same people maybe were involved with this this game.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably the same developer, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Is this...
I went too easy this week, I can tell. Easy.
You didn't go too easy, but what you did go with was, unfortunately, like I said, one of the few cards they have in something that I've loaded.
It was
up
one fifth. It was one fifth of your
right,
library.
It's just like, yeah. I have a whole five cards. Yeah. Wait, I might have six now with that Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might have six.
You have six.
All right.
Wow, six. The sixth one is the worst game on the platform. Fantastic.
If you got to have six cards for your N64, make sure that Superman 64 is one of them.
Yeah.
And this other game would be the other one. So it is a first person shooter. Is the protagonist, is it a female protagonist?
It is a lady. Yes. She's a lady.
It is a lady.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pew, pew,
yes.
Lady gun shooting lady. Yeah.
Pew, 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 pew. Now would some of this game maybe take place in the dark?
I suppose not really though. It doesn't actually take place in the dark, but I see what you're
getting at. Right. But you see where I'm going, because I'm going to say it's maybe this game right here.
Oh, you do have it. There it is. It is Perfect Dark, everybody. Joanna Dark doing Perfect Dark things. She's she's great. The 360 game, also not enough love for that game. That game is quite good. I think people are just moving on by then, but it was a very good sequel. But Perfect Dark is great. Still great.
It's a great game, and we haven't covered it here on the show. But I did pick this one up because that was my dream to one day. Cause when we did the GoldenEye episode, that's when people like really, you got to play Perfect Dark. And I was like, let me see. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No, I understand. I understand the love for it. It runs deep with me. I was a big fan when it came out. And I would definitely play it again. I would play that
again. You just rolled into my wheelhouse, Scott. That was not an easy one necessarily, but you just rolled right into my wheelhouse.
Well, you got to give you a win once in a while, I figure. You know?
Yeah, once in a while, I got to get a win.
Tell me about mine here. What are my deets before I play it?
Sure. So we're at the arcade this week.
Sorry for
that. The year is 1987, and this is a side-scrolling hack and slash. And from a publisher I've been getting to know better over the years, Taito.
Taito. All right, here it is. Arcade, you say?
Arcade, you say? Did you say arcade?
I think you did. All right, I'm 100% I've played this. I just don't remember the name. All right, let's get to some questions. Is this let's see, who published it?
Taito.
Hack and slash. Based on a property of some sort that I would know.
Let's see. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's only in the realm of, it's not like a cartoon or nothing.
So no cartoon, no movie, no...
No
TV connection.
Not as far as I know. I don't think they ever had a cartoon. Let me double check that. I don't know of any cartoon, but just like I probably go, hey, I don't remember the Japanese version of the anime of that game. No.
Is there a ninja involved? Are you a ninja or somehow?
No? You're not ninjas, but that's a good question that you would ask. What kind of genre it is? That would probably give you a big leg up if you were to figure that part out. Maybe you should have asked that. Maybe no. That would be too vague, wouldn't it?
What genre?
How about if I told you he was think barbarian. How's that?
This isn't Rygar, is it?
No.
Shit. Okay, that was my last third question. Now I have to guess.
Now you have to guess.
Barbarian. It's a hard one, man. Yeah, there's something about the sound effects that are getting me. That are really reminiscent of something, that schling sound.
Yeah, yeah. You probably would have heard this in the arcade. This is a...
I think I played it. It sounds so familiar to me.
I'll give you one more clue too.
Okay.
When I actually end up saying this, I'll have realized that I've never actually said the game's name out loud, and someone's definitely going to tell me I'm saying it wrong.
Oh, you'll pronounce it
wrong. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to say you're putting the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Not Rygar. The other one with an R. Ricin.
It's a drug.
not Rizstar. That's the Sega Star guy.
Oh yeah, Rizstar is awesome, but that's not this.
Rondon
the Barbarian.
I give up. It's like something with an R.
Yeah, you're right. I will give you half point. Rostan.
That's it.
Raston.
Did anybody in the chat get it?
Rostan. I think did Tonda got it, I believe, earlier. Yes, Tonda got it, I believe.
Tonda Gosa with Rast. There it is. Damn it.
Is it Rastar? Am I getting that right?
It's Rastan.
Rastan?
Not Rastar. Rastan.
It's not Rastan.
Rastan is what Rastar. I always said. Rastan, but I don't know.
Rastan.
Cobra Commander says Rastan.
Yeah. I got anxiety like when I realized, I'm like, I might tell Scott how to say this in a minute. I might say it out loud for the first time. I'm like, I don't know if I'll be able to do it.
Yeah, this was a cool game. Let me pull it up here for people to see it. I remember this now very. Yeah, this is it. Damn it, dude. I thought the art in this was cool.
Yeah, I did too.
Look at him. He's all barbaric with his sword and is throwing flames out of it.
side scrolling business.
Yeah. The arcade and that, man. Look how sexy this is, too. Look at those pixels.
Damn. All right. You spelled his name. His T was a sword in his name.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good pick. You rocked my plan.
Some barbarian action. We haven't done any barbarian action in a very long time. That's one of the reasons why I was thinking about it.
Yeah. What's with that? Why don't we have more barbarians in video games?
I don't know. The video game landscape, especially the retro part, is littered with fantasy and barbarian stories. And we haven't visited one for a while.
Yeah. I don't understand why that is, though. It's weird, especially on this show. We're going to have to do more.
Yeah.
It for that. Let's move on now to what is it? What do we do now? Oh, we're going to get some email business going on.
Welcome to the Treasure Room.
And in fact, we're going to start with a voicemail today. This is a voicemail about Chicago days, we'll call it.
Okay.
And for some reason, I can't find.
I want to. Can I say why you're looking for that? I want to go to Chicago. Because at one point in time, that was the arcade hub, right? That's where everything was distributed from. And I really want to go visit some of that classic arcade museum there stuff. They got it that way.
Yeah, Chicago known for this on a lot of levels. Arcades, manufacturing, pinball people, all that stuff was huge there. Found it. Here it is. Let's play it.
Hello, gentlemen. This is Liquid Smoke 2517. I'm literally watching you guys record live right now doing your Unreal Tournament 99 episode, and I'm reminded of the time when I used to go to my local Six Flags. I used to live just north of Chicago, and there's a Six Flags up there, Six Flags Great America, and out in front of the American Eagle, they used to have these black pods, and there was 8 of them linked together, and you could play Unreal Tournament, and everybody, they were all linked together, and you would play against each other. It was the most fun experience I had growing up gaming. Just wanted to share that with you guys because watching your show right now, that reminded me of that. And, just want to share that info. Thank you guys for all you do. Appreciate the show. All right, guys. Take care.
Yeah, man. I'm jealous of all these things.
Dude, that is, I don't think we ever did that at our Six Flags. We have a Six Flags not that far from me, maybe 3-4 hours away from me. And the arcade's usually pretty good, but I don't remember anything like that. Was that Liquid Smoke?
That was Liquid Smoke. Yeah, and then whatever his numbers are, but Liquid Smoke's first part. Yeah.
Yeah. God, I'm so jealous of that memory. That's a great memory. Yeah. I played a lot of LAN parties where we had set up some, foldable tables, pop them out, bring in your giant ass, 17-inch CRT and your big ass tower, and you'd hook up all in the LAN, and man, we just play until the early morning.
Yep.
Until the early morning. Then we had to all drag our butts home.
That's what we were.
Those computers were a lot heavier leaving, by the way.
No, trust me. Like bringing in a big CRT just to play with a bunch of people. What a nightmare that was.
Right, right.
But so we did that too. Fun. We did it with Battlefield, the original Battlefield. We did it with Warcraft 3 a bunch. I did it with Unreal, Doom, Quake.
Yes.
All that whole run from about 92 up through like just pre-Halo days.
Yeah,
we were doing that nonstop, and then that kind of stopped with Halo because then people started doing Xbox parties, and they would bring their OG Xbox over and multiple televisions, and they would play at like the dude's house up the street. I did a bunch of that. I wasn't very good, but whatever.
I was so lucky. I didn't realize how lucky I was at the time, but I worked at a startup ISP, a small one ISP in my hometown, and we all had our own nice computers, and we would have parties like Friday night, instead of going home, leaving our job, we'd just fire up some multiplayer, some LAN play, and we would just stay late into the night just playing. Just so easy and simple, not to care anything. We'd just say, hey, you guys want to play after work? Sure, let's do it. And we would just pick a game and play, and man, that was so easy and so comfy.
Yeah, you're making me want to do it right freaking now.
Yeah, maybe in like an hour, maybe 45 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, maybe we'll get in there and shoot each other in the face again with some big rocket launchers and things.
Right.
For real, if you're in the chat.
More during the UT report later. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk more about it in a second because we do have that coming up. Thanks for the call. We also got a quick text here from a listener named Tyvm. I don't know, T-Y-V-M. Not sure how you say it.
Tie virtual machine.
Sure, why not? Says, hi, this is for Play Retro. Episode 105, you guys talked about copy protection and having to go reference the manual in order to answer a riddle for Prince of Persia. I have a very early childhood memory of my dad bringing home a pirated version of Gauntlet for DOS, which had the same thing. His coworker had launched the game 100 times and figured out that only 5 or 6 pages were actually referenced in the riddle. They use the company Xerox to pass around the manual along with the pirated discs. I have a strong suspicion that the discs were also company property. Keep up the awesome work. Tivum. Yeah, dude, you kind of made my day with that. That's freaking great.
I love that story. The mini game of piracy is probably the one that I played the most throughout the years. The piracy mini game. It's like, oh, you've got some copy protection? Challenge accepted. I probably wouldn't even try to do anything. Like copy, I wouldn't even probably even try. But no. Man, you put something on it. You put something up in the way. And I'm like, yes,
yeah.
This is what I'm doing.
This is what I'll do today. It was a challenge back then, you know. Now you get thrown in prison for this shit. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
Thanks for your text. Thanks for your voicemail. Those both came to 801-471-0462. And if you want to email us, playretroshow@gmail.com. And now this:
double kill, triple kill, ultra kill. Monster kill. Ludicrous kill. Holy shit.
Well, that can only mean one thing. We have a new, maybe semi-regular segment. Maybe it'll forever be, or maybe it'll only be this week. I don't know, but it's called the UT Report, and Brian's brought us the latest and the greatest here. So what are we doing?
The UT Report, and it'll be, we'll use it as long as it's relevant, and you guys are still enjoying Unreal Tournament 99. Be sure to visit retrogib.com. That is our official domain for all the news that is the Unreal Tournament Report and how to get on to the Play Retro Unreal Tournament server. Everything is there. How to set it up, how to join, passwords, troubleshooting, FAQs. And now stats. We just added some stats using gametracker.com. So now you can see who's playing, when they played, and how their scores are. Now, I'm going to read off a quick list of some of our frequent players who started playing since we put this stat tracker up. Now, we did this after Tuesday, I believe. So, Scott, unfortunately, you won't be in this list, even though Scott is way up there on the top players list. Mm. And after tonight, he'll be, I'm sure, up the top. Puppy Kitten Trout is at, oh, I'm sorry, I should start at the bottom. Moose Lover is number 10. Red Vulture 2 is number 9. Lot Wook 3 is number 7, and somehow so is Dick Proper 3. I don't know. They tied. Sure. I think that's supposed to be an 8 for Lot Wookie, then 7 for Dick Proper, and then 6 Shock Effect. That's me. Tannis DeFatty, Toaster NW, Stinky Pete at number 1 with a kill is Puppy Kitten. Now, we were keeping the bots in that list for the top players list. Got rid of those guys. We are still counting. If you kill a bot, you will get some points. Well, eventually, when we have enough people on there, we'll get rid of the bots entirely. They won't even be part of the score. Not even, it won't even be relevant.
No, it won't even matter.
No.
I'm not in that list yet, but I should be, and I will be. So get ready, everyone. I'm coming
out. You will.
Okay.
And you can see the stats in game as well. It'll report on the stats currently and some historical as well. Just hit F3 when you're playing. You can join our retro clan with the call signs PLRT or PLRT, as we refer to it in the future. GameTracker.com/clan PLRT. That information is also on RetroGib.com. And we're gilded too. We just started using this. I didn't know anything about gilded until I started doing all this stuff again. Gilded.gg. If you want to invite, let me know. We'll get you set up. Basically, it's like Discord, but for a specific purpose for games, including a nice little calendar for scheduling where you can schedule some things. If you want to play with some of the other people in the community, let us know and maybe we'll pop in and join with you.
That's right.
But that's tonight. Tonight is Friday. We're playing Relic Mutators.
Hell yeah.
I've never used Relic Mutators other than to test it. It's pretty cool. Well, you got like some. You got some like God mode kind of things. You've got speed. Everybody's going to have a pickup. If it's near you, you pick it up. You'll get some kind of boost, like, you know, strength or speed or health that keeps cranking back up. Even when you get shot, it's like it just keeps going back up. It should make it a little different.
Yeah.
A little more action.
Nice.
What we're doing.
Come get in. I'm going in. Brian will be there. It's going to be a good time tonight. So play with us.
As we like to say, come get some.
That's right.
RetroGib.com.
Here's the good news. Next week, we are covering a game I have fond feelings for called Black and White. We return to Lionhead Studios for the 2001 Black and White on PC. We're going to talk about monkeys throwing poop at villagers. So if you were hoping for that.
It's been a while since we did a God game. So Superman, I was hoping to be God-like, but
no,
didn't get enough this week. So we need a real God game.
He throws his poop at Jimmy Olsen. But other than that, not that exciting.
I watched in preparation. I had watched for the first time. I had watched Lois and Clark. I never watched it during the 90s. I was aware of it. Dean Cain.
Sure.
Never watched any of it. I watched half of the first half of that 2-hour intro movie pilot thing they did.
Yeah.
And it is not what I thought it was.
No.
And I'm enjoying it so far, but I'm being told to keep my excitement to a reasonable level because it starts to turn into a turd. That's just what I've heard.
Yeah, keep your expectations steady because it takes. I don't know. It just loses its way a little bit. Is all.
Yeah,
and that's okay. It's okay that it does.
Beginning though, it's good. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's all right. Anyway, that is going to do it for that. And that'll be next week. Black and White, 2001, Lionhead Studios. Get excited, all you early aughts PC players. Okay. We'll talk about why Brian's rig would never run it because it was too poopy. He needed a better computer.
It was too poopy. It wouldn't do it.
Mine barely did it, and that was a whole problem in itself. But anyway, in the meantime, please support us on our Patreon if you like this show and the content it brings to you each and every week, and you want to be a bigger part of it. Please support us today at patreon.com/playretro. Be like CJ Oisin McColgan. I don't know how else you say that guy's name. It's a crazy name. And Mark Ellison are just a few of the examples of fine people, fine supporters who support us over there, who get no commercials ever because they're on the Patreon feed. There's no ads ever, ever, ever. You get pre-show content every week and other monthly benefits that can be yours if you'll sign up today at patreon.com.
Our eternal gratitude.
Yeah, and our eternal gratitude at patreon.com/playretro. That is going to do it for us. If you're looking for everything else, head on over to Play Retro over on the website, frogpants.com/playretro. Brian, that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. We hope you're having a fantastic week, and we hope you go play something retro.
Up, and no way to
and
this
no,
game.
Oh, no, the rings! The rings!
Get more at frogpants.com.
And there's no time to waste.
I'm Superman.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.